Before I begin, let me say how much of a privilege it has been to come here these past four times this summer and to open God's words with you. It has been a real blessing to me to come here to this church that was so special to me in my youth, to be able to open God's word and to minister to familiar faces and people that I've never met before. I thank you for having me, and I especially want to thank Pastor McCabe for giving me the opportunity. And I know that going forward that, well, let's just say that the Lord's not done with any of you yet. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, but He still has something planned for everyone here. And I pray that you will find it and that you will find great blessings as you do the Lord's will. Would you all pray with me, please? Father, as we prepare to look into Thy Word, I pray that You'll be with me as I speak, and I pray that You will open the hearts of those here, that Your Spirit will flow and that blessings will abound. Watch over us, Father, and let us walk away from here knowing that we have been in the house of the Lord. Pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be preaching today on something known as the 11th commandment. Now, I'm sure that most of us have heard what and can even recite what are commonly referred to as the 10 commandments. And like many of you, I first learned of these things in Sunday school lessons, junior church, or other such places. But I was also taught that along with them, there is an 11th commandment, and that it is just important, just as important as the 10 original ones. Now, no, with all due respect to President Reagan, I am not talking about thou shalt not speak evil of thy fellow Republicans. Rather, I am talking about a commandment that comes to us from a source that is infinitely more authoritative, Jesus Christ. It is recorded for us in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Take a minute to turn there. John 13, 34, and 35. And it is there that we are told that Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." This then is the 11th, or the new commandment. It comes to us from the same source as the 10 old ones, and it is therefore just as valid. And it is just as important for us to know it and to obey what it says. Indeed, I could assert that this new commandment is more important than all of the originals. I want you to look at what Jesus said. "A new commandment I give unto you." Jesus tells us that this is something new, something that God has not required in the past, but that He does require now. This is not just a new idea or a new thought. It is a new commandment. The Ten Commandments were, of course, the basis for the entire religion of Judaism, which was the foundation of Christianity. I believe it can be said that Judaism, for example, is Christianity concealed, and that Christianity is Judaism revealed. This is one of the things that Jesus reveals to us, this new commandment. And this new commandment is that ye love one another. Jesus commands those who follow Him to love one another. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Well, it's not. The very simplicity of the command is what makes it so hard. We are commanded to love our fellow believers. That is not always easy. There are times when no one can irritate you more than a fellow Christian. And yet, in spite of that irritation, we are to love them. That's not to say that our fellow believers can't be wrong about something or that we can't know justifiable anger with them for some reason. But even when your brother or sister in Christ is wrong, even when you are angry with them, you still need to approach them in love. I want you to consider Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Keep your bookmarks in John, because we'll come back there. But Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. All right, Galatians 2, 11 to 14 is where Paul tells us, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled themselves likewise, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" Peter was doing something wrong. Paul was displeased with him. I think it's fair to say that he was angry. And since Peter was doing a public wrong, Paul rebuked him publicly for it. But while Paul was angry, I do not believe he rebuked Peter in anger. He did it in a spirit of love. Peter was not showing love to the Gentile believers. He did this out of fear. Paul corrects him and reminds him that what he is doing is wrong. Paul's words are not harsh, they're gentle. This is an example for us. Peter was not showing the love that he should, and Paul called him on it. And Peter, I believe, understood this and repented of the sin that he had committed. And in spite of this unpleasant confrontation, we know that Peter still loved Paul. He calls him a beloved brother in 2 Peter 3:15. So yes, we are to love our fellow believers, even when they are unlovely. But by continuing to show love instead of anger or hatred, the closeness that we will have one with another will grow and remain strong. Now again, this may seem simple, but it's not. And as if to tell us how special and important this love that we're to have for one another is, the Lord immediately clarifies what he had said a moment before. He says, after saying that we are to love one another, he says we are to love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Oh. Now here's where it gets complicated. We are to love one another the way Christ loved us. That's a tall order. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We all know that Jesus laid down his life for us. That is the kind of love that he had and that he wants us to have for one another. A love that completely devotes ourselves to each other. Now, on the one hand, yes, this passage is specifically talking about the love that we are to have for our fellow Christians. But in that context, it also talks about the love that we should have as Christians. Jesus died for his friends, yes. But there was so much more to it than that. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I like coming back to that passage, because it so clearly sums up the entirety of the gospel. Jesus laid down his life willingly, and he did it when he had no reason to do so. Before we came to know Christ as Savior, we had nothing in common with God. And yet, in spite of that, Jesus died for the sinner. He went to that cross so that we could become his friends. So in a way, yes, we are to love both our fellow believers and non-believers just as much. We are to love the non-believers so much that we go out of our way to tell them about Jesus, even perhaps at the risk of our own lives. For if you have an unsaved friend whom you love, do you not want them to know the salvation that comes from putting your faith in the shed blood of Calvary? Do you not want these dear friends to be able to see heaven's glory with you? If you love them, tell them about Jesus. For if you do not tell them, and if they never know to come to the Lord, if they never come to know the Lord, well, do you really want to see someone you love wind up in the fires of hell because you never told them what they need to hear? That being said, while the love we are to have for the non-believer is implicit in this passage, it is more explicitly about the love we are to have for our fellow believers. It is vitally important that Christians show love to fellow Christians. And the reason it is so important is made very clear in verse 35 of our primary text. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The love that Christians have one for another proves to the world that we are followers of Jesus. If we don't love our fellow believers, then we are no better off than those who do not know Him. People in the world today don't really love each other. Violence, fear, crime, murder, these are the things that those who do not follow Jesus will visit upon one another. They will even do these horrible things to those that are closest to them and who perhaps even think the same way that they do on various topics, to say nothing of those who disagree with them. But you know, once you come to know Christ, you are transformed, and you're to rise above those petty differences that you have with others. And because of the common bond that you have in Jesus, you are to treat one another with love. The world does not do this. The people of the world do not show love. But when they see Christians loving one another, even when they get on each other's nerves, the people of the world will see that there is something different about us, and they are going to want to know more. I remember once, many years ago, when some news commentator was interviewing Jerry Falwell about Pat Robertson. I don't recall the context, but it was clear that the commentator was trying to get Jerry to say something bad about Pat. I don't recall his exact words, but, you know, Jerry would have nothing of what this commentator wanted. He said something to the effect of, "Look, Pat and I disagree on many things, but he is my brother in Christ, and I'm not going to speak ill of him." This was a perfect example of how a Christian can show love for a fellow believer with whom he is at odds. In spite of their differences, in spite of a deeply held conviction of the errors that the other espoused, these two men did manage to love one another as fellow Christians. And as I recall, that statement shut up the commentator and forced the conversation to move on. And as it moved, the gospel was shared with people who needed to hear it. If nothing else, let that be your reason for love. Where love is not, there is strife and anger. But when we have love in our hearts, we get to tell others about the Lord. When others see that we have love one for another, they know that we are followers of Christ. And once they know that we are His followers, they will be willing to listen to what we have to say about Him. Earlier, we quoted that well-known passage about the greatest commandment of the law, you know, that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and the second is unto the first, that you love thy neighbor as thyself. Keeping that verse in mind, you know, it can be said that the basic theme of the entire Mosaic Law is love. I would agree with that statement. But what is only hinted at in those original Ten Commandments is made very crystal clear in the 11th or New Commandment. The guiding principle that should be central to every Christian's walk is love. We are to love one another as Christ loved us. And the greatest expression of love that was ever given can be summed up with three simple words. It is finished. Jesus loves me, this I know, for he climbed the lowly hill of Golgotha there to lay down his life for me. That is the love that Jesus has for us. That is the love that we are to have one for another in Christ. And that is the love that we are to share with those who do not know him. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we have a request this morning, a simple one, that where thy presence may be found, we ask that love may be found. We ask that you remind us always of the love that you had for us, and that you fill us with a spirit of that love so that we can share it with others. Watch over us, Father, as we share the love of the gospel with others, and let that love shine forth so that sinners may come to repentance and that we may know that thou art God. Guide, guard, and keep us, Father, as we go our way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.